The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
The Adventures of Batman.
Welcoming you to the new adventures of Batman.
Welcome to Batmanimation. Did I get it right, Ryan Lowell?
Nailed it.
Senior. I got that, but I can't say the word senior.
Yeah, exactly. You got Batmanimation,
Yeah. Batmanimation, a Batman on Film podcast. This is episode number 6. I am the founder of Batman on Film, Bill Jett Ramey. I will not be telling the story today of how I started Batman on Film on a web TV in 1998. So that makes everybody
a social hour exclusive.
Yes, that should make everyone listening happy that I will not be telling that story, Ryan. Ryan, how are you?
I'm great. As of this recording, it is a Friday. There's a new energy in the air, in the crisp autumn air here in Indiana today of it's Friday. We can do this. And I have a very exciting and enjoyable day of work ahead of me. And that is not
okay.
Sarcasm. So Friday is good. It's a good day.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. I have not hosted a Batmanimation podcast.
This is the perfect
and
one.
So the way it works, usually one of the Batman on Film guys, whoever picks the episode gets the host. Is that the rule?
I mean, pretty much.
Okay. So this was my pick. We're going to venture into what is an episode that is actually part of one of my, an episode of from one of my, my favorite, personal favorite animated Batman series, mm-hmm. Batman, the Brave and the Bold. And I know people go, how in the hell is that your favorite animated series when you like serious, dark and serious, grounded Batman without aliens and crazy superhero, superpower stuff? And I can tell you why. Number one, I think the Batman, the Brave and the Bold is a love letter to Batman and Batman history. It's probably why I appreciate it the most. Also, Ryan, there is a difference between animation and live action film.
No way.
What works in comics and animation might not always work in a live action film that's supposed to be taken serious. So that is my answer to that.
Okay.
I would say your favorite animated series is BTAS, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm often asked, why do you not like Batman the Animated Series? And I say, no, I love Batman the Animated Series. But
you respond, how dare you? I did not say that.
When Batman the Animated Series came out in 1992, my Batman fandom was firmly established. So it did not have a it did not have a major impact on me as a Batman fan. It was like, yeah, this is
good.
This is Batman. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't have the impact on me like the 60s TV series did. And I think for people, I would say for people of your generation, your vintage, that's probably what BTAS probably had that kind of impact on you all, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Those are very impressionable years for my generation. Like I say, I was very impressionable at my age when I started to actually get to look at Batman comics. And who was the artist on Batman comics at the time? Norm Breyfogle. So he's going to have an impression on me because that's the version mm-hmm. of Batman that I'm seeing a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely for a lot of people around my age. And I mean, of course, there could be people a lot older than me, people who were born much later and then introduced to it and everything. But yeah, definitely when you're seeing that Batman, that dark Batman, of course, you can end up being like, that's my preference for Batman. Not this light, bright, silly stuff like Brave and the Bold. Clearly, yes. that's not Batman.
Thank you for that segue. Speaking of the Brave and the Bold, before we start, get into this episode, and we're going to knock this out in 30 some odd minutes, so we'll get rolling here shortly. What is your overall take as a fan? What did you think when it came out? And you know, when you first, we started hearing about it and we get, you know, there were promos and whatnot. I'll be honest. I was like, this ain't going to be for me. What was I wrong?
Many people remember the promoting of this series, you know, it launched in 2008, I think November of 2008.
Probably.
I've got the page right here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The complete opposite, it seemed, of the Dark Knight that we were just experiencing at the time. Mm-hmm. Yes, November 2008. And I actually remember Batman on film because, yes, even back then I was an avid reader of Batman on film. You'd posted something about it. And I think even it was like, And for me, I was like, Like, that does not look like my thing. And I remember even actually being at home I was with my mom, and I don't know where something about it popped up on TV even. She's like, yeah, did you see that there's going to be a new Batman show? And I was like, yeah, it doesn't look good. I just left it at that.
Yeah.
I have not seen every episode of the series. There's something comforting there of knowing that I have this Batman media waiting for me whenever mm-hmm. I'm ready. But it's similar to me of almost like the 66 series. It's a show that I can watch, but I can't binge. And that's how I feel with Brave and the Bold.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing like negative to say about it. I just know I can't just sit and just watch so many episodes in a row. Then I will get tired of almost like the formula, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do sit down and when I do watch it, like I really, really enjoy it. And then one of the best things that they've done, I've watched a lot of episodes. For sure. One of the best things that they've done is the Batman Brave and the Bold and Scooby-Doo movie.
I was just about to ask you. I know you do like
love that movie, which is really funny because it's like, that's Batman Brave and the Bold world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when I watch the show, when I watch episodes, there are certain ones I go to constantly over and over. But the whole series as a whole, the time is coming where I'll watch it all.
Got you. All right. We're going to talk about episode 25 from season 1. Mayhem, the Music Meister. You like that?
Yes. It's sad that you're not going to put a video version of this up so people can see you.
I did a semi-jig along with that, right?
Yes. And just 4 minutes ago, even you mentioned about people being surprised how much you love Batman the Brave and the Bold. And mm-hmm. it, much like on the social hour, Batman social hour recently, mm-hmm. We had a discussion with Lieber Mayo, and I brought up the fact of Batman Zur-En-Arrh, and it blows my mind that that's something that Bill Jett Raimi likes.
Yeah.
Brave and the Bold. It doesn't surprise me that you like it. Surprises me. I mean, it's not a recent take. You've been long saying on the website and in the Facebook group that mm-hmm. that's your favorite animated Batman series. And I think it surprises me. You got me again, Bill. Surprises me that you love this episode. This does not seem like Bill Jett Raimi's like A+ material.
It's just, look, I appreciate brilliance and creativity, right?
Sure. Yeah, me too.
And I think this episode, there's a lot of it. I mean, just think about this. Let's make an episode and it's everyone sings. The whole thing, you know, 90% of it is song and dance for that matter.
Yeah.
And it works, right?
It does.
Okay. So this was season one again, episode 25. It premiered on June 24th of 2009. It was directed by Ben Jones. Writing credits go to Michael Jelinek. Diedrich Bader is Batman. D. Bradley Baker is the Clock King. Gray Griffin, friend of the show, actually, right?
Yeah.
Is Black Canary. Joe DiMaggio is Aquaman and Gorilla Grodd. Tom Kenny,
the star
SpongeBob
of the
SquarePants. Yes.
The star of Batman Brave and the Bold, John DiMaggio on Aquaman. Yes.
Absolutely. You know, he did a little promo for Batman on film in Aquaman voice.
He did.
Did you see that? Yes.
Yeah.
What else am I missing? Oh, Tom Kenny again, SpongeBob SquarePants is the voice of Babyface. Kevin Michael Richardson is Black Manta, who is the voice of Joker in the Batman.
Yep. He's a Hall of Famer in animation.
James Arnold Taylor is Green Arrow. And the great Doogie Howser, M.D.
That's right.
Patrick Harris himself is the music meister. Jeff Bennett is actually the singing voice of Batman. Yes, he is the voice of the Joker in Batman the Brave and the Bold as well.
Oh, nice. Okay. Did not know that. There you go. The more you know.
Am I missing anything credit-wise?
I don't think so. A familiar voice or name that we know who I believe. Yeah, Pete has talked to James Tucker. I did see in the credits of this episode that he and Michael Jelinek were the lyrics, were responsible for the lyrics.
There's
a little name, but he's a fan of Batman on film.
He is. He's a friend of the website. I'd love to get him on, talk about this series someday. And he is the producer of this here animated series. So basically, the premise is, here's the synopsis. Batman finds himself going up against his own allies when the Music Meister hijacks a United Nations communication satellite and uses it to control the world via his song. Only one thing can stop him: Black Canary's even more powerful voice. So the whole thing is a musical. There are what? Three major musical productions here. You know, I think. Yeah. You've got,
I'm thinking.
Starts off with he's the music meister. The music meister. I'm have that song stuck in my head all day. So what was you watched this for the first time, right?
I finished this 20 minutes before we started recording the first time.
Lay it on me.
Not my thing.
Yes.
But I applied the creativity and there aren't nits to pick. You know, you can just full out recognize sometimes some things that you're like, I know that's good. It's just not my thing. However, I'm not that, against rewatching it. It's just, I don't think this will be one that I go to you know, very often to revisit, and that's just because of the musical genre in the end.
Yeah.
It's, which is really funny because I think I'm I think I come across optimistic and happy. Hey, what's the genre for happiness? Musicals, because people are running around just singing and la 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 la. Yeah. And it's not, it's just not, that's not my my genre. There are some that, of course, I mean, Nightmare Before Christmas, I love, Wizard of Oz, and then a lot of, you know, Disney animation. But outside of that, musical is not my thing. So I think that's why I've put off on this episode like all these years too, because I'm like that. I'm kind of scared that I'm not going to have a good time with it. I don't want to watch it. But it was, I mean, it was fun for sure. I had the closed captioning on because that is something with my hearing I'm not good at. It's like the music outdoes the lyrics to where I can't fully understand what's being said. But of course, I feel like the beat and the music and stuff like that. So I had the closed captioning on, and I think that like the lyrics are good. It does tell the story. Like that's what I mean. Like storytelling wise, it is, I think it is like good, and there's no weak link in it, period. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you posted it. I don't know if you did it from the, from your Twitter account or Batmanimation the other day, but you made a video. I mean, cut it years ago. It's got some good numbers too. The Death Trap clip.
Yeah.
And so that one was the highlight for me. I thought that one was a lot of fun. It was the shortest.
Gonna ask you. Yeah.
But also I think music wise, that was the most like flat out like, enjoyable music to me of the whole thing too. The other music kind of felt a little like standard old musical set pieces kind of music, which maybe that was their intention. And maybe that's why a lot of people like it. And I'm like, but I like Death Trap, I think was visually interesting, and the music itself was very, was fun.
Death Trap is really pretty good. Pretty cool. Kind of a nod also to the 60s TV series, right?
Yes, I thought that as well.
Yeah. I just thought that, you know, the lyrics are pretty, they're funny, but not funny where you're laughing at it, that it's absurd. It's just
clever.
It's clever. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole Death Trap, I really like that segment.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like, I'm going to go back to the musical segments in a second, but also I enjoyed the Music Meister's outfits changing. He was in like a 70s Elvis type concert.
Of course. There you go.
One time he was like a punk rocker at one time.
Punk rocker when it was the Death Trap, you know, to fit that, because, you know, it's rock music. So he's evil, you know, he's really got the spiked hair, but then in one like slick move, he just puts his hand back and it all just goes, you know, back into place, which I enjoyed.
I mean, the plot overall is it's, you know, it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
He's up to no, you know, his superpower is he can control people, you know, and turn on
through song,
through song. And he's going to hijack this satellite so he can control everyone in the world and turn them all evil. And they're all, mm-hmm. you know, they're dancing while they're, you know, robbing banks or whatever, you know, whatever dastardly deeds they're up to.
I had audible giggles definitely there toward the beginning when, so it was a Green Arrow, Aquaman, and Black Canary joined Clock King, Gorilla Grodd, and who was the other villain? Black Manta. In a line like the Rockettes. And they were like in the background, like as the Rockettes, just still, like even the Music Meister and Batman are in the foreground. The focus is on them, but you still have the other six in the back still doing the little Rockettes just slowly. Like, that kind of stuff makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So that got a good giggle out of me.
Did you enjoy the, I would say this is, you know, of course, first and fourth segments or musical pieces are, it's, you know, he's the Music Meister, and both tell different stories, you know. The first one is kind of like he's talking about like his origin story, kind of, you know, in a way, and why he does what he does. And the end is, you know, the last one kind of picks up like that part of the story. Batman, I think, has several funny one-liners.
And clever throughout. Also of your something orchestrations. Bravo. Yes. I don't know what the adjective was of the something lyrics, but it was, you know, it was an alliteration, which of course I know that's standard for this series, but all of them pertain to music, which I don't, you kind of think too. So this is the 25th episode of the first season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not new to the show of Batman uses a lot of alliterations and stuff, but you think like, wow, they're still coming up with fresh new ones. This is the 25th time they're doing this, and they're doing it over and over. Not yes. too much that it was annoying, but you know, they're dropping new ones, and it's and that's the applause I give for like an episode like this. That of course it's not a, like not my favorite thing, but it's not for a lack of effort and creativity and wit and everything, because it's full of that. I think every second,
like the 60s TV series, mm-hmm. Batman has a gadget for everything.
Of course.
So he gives the heroes bat earplugs that will mm-hmm. prevent them from being fall under the hypnotic spell of the music meister. It was pretty funny.
I did pause and look
mm-hmm.
The brief moment taking us inside of Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
And it was just, in which the first shot inside, I don't know who was next to him, but it was King Tut.
Yes.
And then I think
did you catch Egghead? Man
popped in. I didn't see Egghead. Which one was he?
I believe it was Egghead. Maybe I'm mistaken.
And they have
the square, you know, that was like almost like Brady Bunch type thing.
I did pause that, and I was looking. I spotted Scarecrow. I don't know if Scarecrow, does he ever make an appearance, even as like a cold open in this show?
That you're going to have me on, because I'm going to have to go back and watch. I don't recall offhand the Scarecrow, because they're usually pulling, a lot of times it's unless it's like Joker. There's a lot mm-hmm. of non-Batman villains, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Showing up. Like Black Manta and stuff like that.
And I mean, after the first shot inside a cell, and then it's the hallway, and you're seeing them as they're popping open. And I think that had Scarecrow popped open in one, Two-Face, I think mm-hmm. Penguin or Joker. So yeah, that, and I mean, I know it was brief. This is a small part, but of course that's a pause it. Let's spot them. Let's name them of the villains that make a nice little appearance. Cause that's the fun part that they can do. Insert anybody that they want there, and they don't have to have them say anything, so they can just draw whatever they want and like throw it in there. And I liked that.
Song two comes about when the music meister or the Batman kind of thwarts the original thing. He, you know, gives the heroes the bad earplugs, and you know, like music meister's like, curses, Batman always driving curses. Villains bats. And then it leads into the Drives His Bat song. Did you like the Drives His Bat song?
Yeah, it was fun. I'm trying to think, like, what all the folk. I know I just watched it, but it's like I don't have any standout like lines or moments on that. Whereas Death Trap in my head, I can like, I can see it. I can see it all the way through. But on that one, I don't know. What is it about? Let's see. I know I had some questions for you pertaining to this specifically. Yeah. Were your admiration for the episode, was that from the very first time you saw it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember they kind of made a big deal promoting this.
Oh, okay.
Up to it. Because I was covering, they're not on the, they didn't make the migration to the new site back in 2018, but I still have them from the old site. But I think I reviewed every freaking episode that came out, and was getting like, promo material leading up to each episode, promo stills and video clips. And I had that on Batman on Film. And they really made a big push, you know, this they're doing a whole episode that's a musical, you know, and kind of really hyped it up more than they did, a little bit more than the other episodes. So it was like a lot of anticipation, and it didn't disappoint. I'd like Drives Its Bats to me is like a, like I like it a lot because it, and I do love, I think Death Trap, I'm with you, Death Trap's my favorite number, but Drives Its Bats is like kind of it just like goes through Batman history in a way, you know, talks of, it has a boy wonder. I mean, it just, you know, has all these, the Batmobile, all, you know, but it's gadgets and, you know, everything. So I thought it was a cool little song about Batman, even though it's a curses.
Yeah.
That Batman, you know, but it's supposed to be. The third song, Black Canary, has the hots for Batman and sings a song, you know.
Is this something in the series? Does Black Canary have a hots for Batman?
Yes.
She does.
It,
okay.
Yeah. I think it kind of turns back to like the comic book Green Arrow, Black Canary relationship at the end of this one. Right. You know?
Oh, I don't know. I laughed a little bit just because I found the humor in, as the, you know, it's their love song in the musical together and spinning around, and she's singing he and he's singing she. But I thought it was funny because it was, he's singing about her and she's singing about Batman. I thought that she was still all about Batman with it, which I found it funny because then it is like in Green Arrow's case of like, oh yeah, he's the fool. Going after the girl. It's like, dude, she's not talking about you. She's talking about another guy. And so maybe I'm reading that wrong, but that made me laugh.
Batman. Well, you know, there is a funny line that at the end when the heroes win, she says, let's you know, she asked him out on a date, basically, let's go have dinner. And he's like, crime doesn't take a dinner break, neither do I.
Yeah,
you know.
Neither do I.
So
Diedrich Bader, that guy, in which, when, I mean, he's been responsive on Twitter. I mean, it's just like with any celebrity, like they're busy, they can't answer every single person, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen as a response to some stuff. And actually me a few years ago, I tweeted something at him at the right time. And he will always say that, like, this is the best job he's ever had voicing in this show. And the guy is, I mean, he's funny, period. You check out other stuff that he's been in, and he's a really funny guy, but man, he nailed this interpretation. And also, I mean, you could just say nailed it as a Batman voice, period. Not just this interpretation, because it's also Harley Quinn. He does a really good job. The episodes he pops up in that show.
If you take, I think, like for Brave and the Bold, if you like, it's a great mix of like Conroy and Adam West, you know?
Yeah.
With perfect. Maybe a dash of Keaton thrown in.
Yeah.
Just the, he doesn't really growl. It's more of a whisper than what Kevin Conroy does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more of a whisper, but there's very, it's very deadpan as well. Great timing, like Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
Not really the cadence of Adam West, but I think you get what I'm.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you're blending of, it's a blend of Conroy and West. Is spot on, because it does have the lightheartedness of like West, but still taking itself seriously like Conroy. So I did wonder up until that, the end too. Yeah. I was like, I wonder if Batman is me in this episode and everybody's singing except him. And then he did use it at the very end, but he was
and what was great is that yes, and that's how he, you know, he's thinking. He's not singing just to sing.
No.
He is singing to,
classic Batman,
to make sure that Black Canary's mocking him, not mocking him, but kind of. She's following him. You know, that's like this back and forth of how high can you go with these notes, and then she busts out in the, you know, in the Black Canary scream, and, you know,
the canary cry
takes down the music meister. And
does Music Meister ever show up again?
I believe he does. Okay. He did show up in the comics. I have
after
not read
this
them.
Or
after. And I, okay. Yes. I have.
So this is the debut of this character.
Yes.
Okay.
A couple things I laughed at, I wrote down, I thought chuckled at. It was, you know, the part when the satellite goes active and they show mm-hmm. shots around the world of people, you know, committing crimes, dancing, singing, and Antarctica
is West Side
upside
Story?
Down. Yeah.
Is that West Side Story? The snap?
Yeah. Yeah. And
everybody's doing the snap in this episode.
Antarctica, the guy's dancing and he's, and, you know, in snow and he's upside down because, you know, it's like the South Pole.
Yeah.
And, you know, Batman calls the Music Meister, you corrupt conductor.
Yeah. You corrupt conductor. You son of a bitch.
You
corrupt
son of conductor. A bitch. What the hell is going on?
They had that action. Like, I don't think we can put this on Cartoon Network. Let's just call him a corrupt conductor instead. All right, that works.
It ends with basically Batman thinks the Music Meister and mm-hmm. turns his power on its head and with Black Canary and taking down the satellite. Like I said, he also uses the Bat auto-tuning amplifier to help him hit those high notes.
Of course. It's about time he gets to use that thing.
Yep. Yep. It was, and also, okay, I don't want to get a tangent because we're going to wrap this up, but when drives his bats, he even alludes to in the lyrics about the shark repellent, you know, bat shark repellent.
Oh, I missed that.
In the lyrics. So that was, you know, that's, again, that's like Batman history, Batman, a song about Batman. It's cool. Black Canary, of course, asked Batman on a date. And as I said, crime doesn't take a dinner break. Crime doesn't take dinner breaks. Neither do I. You know,
Batman. And there's always time for a dinner break.
And she sings her love song about Batman again. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then Green Arrow joins in, and there, you know, he's like making his pitch, and then boom, you know, it ends with that's the end of the episode. So,
a clever addition, and I imagine this is the commercial breaks, was the mm-hmm. opening of the curtain mm-hmm. and closing of mm-hmm. the curtain, you know, between each big performance, which if you've been to a show in a theater, you know, that's how it works. The opening and closing of the curtain between songs and sets and stuff like that. And also up to this point. So I just skipped this episode because I do own, or no, I haven't, never mind. Cause they released the DVDs in volumes. Mm-hmm. I think there was 5 volumes to cover 3 seasons. So it was volume 1 was the first half of the first season, volume 2 and blah, blah, blah on DVD. And I have them all, but I definitely watched the first volume and then it was hit and miss. Was this the first time that they didn't have a big, like a villain team up cold open?
I was just going to mention that. You brought the idea about the curtains, because it starts out with just, you know, curtains open and Music Meister, and he shuts and it goes down to that, you know,
and then it goes to the open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they open. I think it may be the only episode that I recall that doesn't have that, you know, the cold opening with the kind of, you know, story within itself.
Yeah.
Characters that may not be in the main episode. So yeah, it was just,
and I always applaud when creators do that and they don't hold the audience's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And try to speak like completely direct, and it's like, you understand what we're doing here without us having to say it. So for mm-hmm. here, of it opens and you just see with the curtains, like I said, and then Music Meister comes out and I think he might smile or something like that, and then it goes into the song. Then you can, as you watch, be like, oh, okay, we're going right into this. Like mm-hmm. you don't need them to say, hey, we're not gonna have they're not Mr. Freeze. That's my default voice. Hey, we're not gonna have a cold open this week. I gotta go find my diamonds.
Yeah.
It just happens by accident anymore. Like,
Yeah. I'll be stealing diamonds this week, yep. So we can have the cold opening.
Yeah. But hey, how's going on here? Shit, what was I gonna say? I keep going to the first before this, but I can't think of at least of like a major production of some sort of there being a Batman musical. Definitely, obviously not live action. I don't think there was a musical episode in the 60s series, unless no. Super Friends did it at some point. I don't know. I don't see musical Batman in anything prior to this. Again, that of like a major, you know, a major form of media, not like a little show that was done in a neighborhood or something like that.
Yeah. So your favorite song. Okay, let's just wrap it up. So
okay, yeah.
Favorite song. The favorite musical piece is the Death Trap scene for you.
Yep, it's Death Trap for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Any other thoughts? Just overall. You were leery of going in. I don't know if leery is the word, but you know, maybe leery going, I'm at my thing. So what's your final? I think this, to me, it's an episode I enjoy watching again and going back to every so often, because I think there are a lot of little things that are like little cool Batman things in it. Mm-hmm. Like in Death Trap, there's like just, and really more, not really Batman, but DC, but they had all kind of, you know, like Metal Men and, you know, Doom Patrol plastered on the walls behind them. And, you know, the scene with, you know, like the Arkham stuff with the villains, you know, during the Drive to Bats number. So I like going back to it, you know. It's probably my go. That one is, this may be my go-to if I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch an episode of Brave and the Bold today, and I'll throw that one in.
Announcer Rachel walks in, and you're doing the Rockettes number there in the living room.
Oh yeah, I'm sitting there going, gears grinding, ropes binding, coils winding for a super sap, death trap.
Yeah, I do like the definitely emphasize on death trap, and she gets to. I think the episode is definitely fun. It is clever. It's witty. I will pick up on things whenever I revisit this again, and the time right after that. Like, I gotta look for Egghead now. Musicals are just not what I run to, but that's a me thing. That's not a Batman the Brave and the Bold thing. I think it delivered in what many people have been promising and saying since it debuted all those years ago. It was fun. It was fun. It's definitely a standout in Batman animation, in Batman animation, as well as like Batman in general as a form of media of, oh, here's a concept and an idea that did a really good job.
Yeah. I did like, speaking of Death Trap, and we'll plug and get out of here, but Death Trap, you know, Black Canary singing during the number as well. You know, the acid steam and blades gleaming, lasers beaming, final nightcap, death trap, you know. And at the end, Batman, if she's not under the spell of the music meister, but she is still singing. And Batman goes, was singing really necessary?
Oh, my God. Yes. I can't believe I didn't mention that. Because, again, Batman, he channels me. Like, you know, like that part too. I think sometimes, like in movies or something, a lot of times that's my response. Was singing necessary?
Yeah.
Was it? No, it wasn't. But in here, it's funny. Obviously, it's meant for humor's sake.
So will you watch it again at some point?
Yes, I will. You've helped me. We're at the beginning of this. I think I was even feeling like, I don't know the next time. I still don't know the next time I'll revisit it.
Yeah,
but pending my mood when I get to that binge of the series, I'm going to make myself go through because I am ashamed that I haven't watched every episode yet. I'll give this one another viewing.
Sounds good. Like I said, this is kind of my go-to if I'm going to watch. Sometimes I just will like YouTube like Death Trap or drives us bad just to watch the musical number, you know. Especially I usually do Death Trap because I really like that one. So with that, if you have not checked out this episode of Batman the Brave and the Bold, of course I highly recommend it if you haven't. What would you say to folks that are kind of like, would be like in your boat, like, this may not be my thing, you know?
When you're in that mode, you have to definitely be...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You have to view responsibly. Because if you force yourself to watch something when you're not in the mood, you could really end up having an unfair criticism of that episode or movie or whatever. So definitely when you're in a little bit more like this, I waited until right before we recorded to watch it for the first time because I knew I got to watch it because we're going to talk about it. And I let the anticipation build for it. I wasn't dreading it at any point. So definitely when you're in a little bit more, maybe it's a morning lighthearted view to start your day too. Go to HBO Max. It's 21 minutes. There you go.
Yes, it is.
Just try it.
Well, continue,
you won't hate it.
Continue on with plugs, please.
Oh, plugs. BatmanOnFilm.com. I have a review for Batman Beyond the White Knight number 5 by Sean Gordon Murphy. Check the BLF podcast feed for the last actual podcast episode was interviewing Sean Murphy. Batman Social Hour.
That was a good issue, actually. I enjoyed that.
That was great.
Yeah.
I don't know how Sean Murphy has done what he's done with this White Knight universe, but I feel like he can do no wrong.
I
love everything. And not just because I've gotten to talk to him on BOF. Like, I don't know what he's done with that universe. He can do no wrong to me. I think he's just kicking ass with all this.
I like
everything he's done.
Freaky Friday thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of ballsy. It was kind of crazy. And it was funny. And I think everything about it worked. Check out the Social Hours where Bill and I are doing chapter by chapter of The Batman, as well as recently we got to sit down and talk to your friend, Bill Liebermayo.
Yeah,
my favorite Batman artist. And then also just
I'd say by now you can say Liebermayo is your friend as well, right?
I would never, Bill. That is your friend. The way that I've gotten to talk to him is because of you. So he is your friend and I just get to tag along at times. I also don't want him to feel like I'm a stalker. This weirdo kid called me his friend. I'm not his friend, Bill. Fire his ass.
Well, he could. Hey, you don't want him going, you son of a bitch. Ryan, you son of a bitch.
And lastly, a new episode of the Batman Book Club, my podcast, just dropped with Mr. Boudin Pockets himself, Peter Vera. We did a monthly wrap-up of new Batman comics in September. Bill's always kind and posts those on Batman on Film as well. And check it out wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right. You, Nelson Rachel will cover everything, or you can just go to Batman on Film. It's all there. That's all there. It's all I got. So for Ryan, I'm Bill. Thanks for listening to this episode of Batmanimation. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Batmanimation, a BatmanOnFilm.com podcast revisiting the animated TV and film adventures of the Caped Crusader. Follow Batmanimation on Twitter at Batmanimation. Follow BOF on Twitter at The Batman on Film. Follow Jet on Twitter at Batman on Film. For Jet and Team BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Batman on Film, authoritative, definitive, the original, established in 1998.